Welcome to Tardy Mecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Please join us for the upcoming Siyumim, February 15th at the Young Israel of Woodmere, New York, February 18th in Yerushalayim, Boston, Chicago, Phoenix, South Florida. Add your city to the list. Go to ouwomen.org/Siyum26 to register. Add your name to the Siyum scroll and support the program that has been with you every day for the past 2 years. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to the Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei HaYamim Bet Perek Tet. Chapter 9 begins with the visit of the Queen of Sheba. Umalkat Shva Shama et Shema Shlomo, Vitavol Linasot et Shlomo Bechidot Birushalayim, Bechayel Kaved Me'od, Ugmalim Nosim Besamim, Vizav Larov, Ve'Evan Yikara, Vitavo El Shlomo, Vitadaber Imo, Ekol Asher Haya El Mavava. The Queen of Sheba heard of Shlomo's fame and came to Jerusalem to test Shlomo with hard questions, accompanied by a very large retinue, including camels bearing spices, a great quantity of gold, and precious stones. When she came to Shlomo, she spoke to him of all that she had on her mind. It is interesting that this narrative with the Queen of Sheba is included in Divrei HaYamim when so many other stories are not. And there are some differences between this account and the parallel one in Melachim chapter 10. Let's start by understanding how the Queen of Sheba heard about Shlomo. I think if we review the last pasuk of the previous perek, we will have an answer. Vishlach lo churam biyad avadav oniot va'avadim yod eyam va'yavo amde im avde Shlomo ofira va'yikchu misham arbam ot v'chamishim kikar zahav va'yaviu el hamelech Shlomo. Churam sent him, under the charge of servants, a fleet with a crew of expert seamen. They went with Shlomo's men to Ophir and obtained gold there in the amount of 450 talents, which they brought to King Shlomo. Churam of Tyre sent Shlomo a fleet of seamen with servants, and they traveled with Shlomo's servants. The Malbim suggests that men from each country were going back and forth between the two countries, and we can see how information about Shlomo could have reached other countries, such as Sheba, which is thought to be Yemen of today. It is not 100% clear what country Ophir is referring to, but one possibility is Saudi Arabia, Yemen's neighbor, and thus the information reaching the Queen of Sheba would make sense. Pasuk Bet succinctly describes the exchange between them. Vayaged la Shlomo et kol devareha, velo ne'emlam davar mishlomo asher lo higidla. Shlomo had answers for all her questions. There was nothing that Shlomo did not know, nothing to which he could not give her an answer. We do not know what the riddles were or how Shlomo answered them. The Midrash does contain examples of the questions she asked him and how he answered. The main shared element in all of her riddles is the issue of gender. Here is an example from the Midrash of one of the riddles. She said to him, "You are truly wise. Now I will ask you something, and we shall see if you are capable of answering me." To which Shlomo responded, "Ki Hashem yitein chachma mipiv dat utzvuna. For the Lord grants wisdom, knowledge and discernment are by his decree." The Queen of Sheba asked, "What are the 7 that issue and 9 that enter, the 2 that offer drink and the 1 that drinks?" Shlomo answered, "The 7 that issue are the 7 days of menstrual impurity. The 9 that enter are the 9 months of pregnancy. The 2 that offer drink are the breasts, and the child is the one who drinks." The queen is blown away by Shlomo's wisdom and also impressed with his wealth. She says in verses 7 and 8, "Ashrei anashecha v'ashrei avadecha ele ha'omdi lefanecha tamid v'shom'im et chachmatecha." How fortunate are your people, and how fortunate are these courtiers of yours who are always in attendance on you and can hear your wisdom. Yehi Hashem Elokecha Baruch asher chafetz b'cha letitcha al kiso lemelech laHashem Elokecha ba'ahavat Elokecha Yisrael lahamido leolam v'yitznacha aleihem limloch lasot mishpat utzdaka. Blessed is the Eternal your God, who favored you and set you on the throne as a king before the Eternal. It is because of your God's love for Israel, and in order to establish them forever, that you were made king over them to execute righteous justice. With this declaration According to the Midrash, she expressed her desire to join the people of Israel. The rabbis compare the Queen of Sheba with Yitro and Rahab, two important Gentiles who sought to adhere to Israel. The queen's visit to King Shlomo is a fulfillment of the prophecy from Jeremiah, Elecha goyim yavou mafse aretz, v'yomru ach sheker nachlu avotenu, hevel v'in ba mo'il. To you, nation shall come from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers inherited utter delusions, things that are futile and worthless. The queen came from the ends of the earth, and as a result of her stay with Shlomo, came to believe in Hashem. Then we read that the queen gave Shlomo gold and spices beyond compare and records her exit. V'hamelech Shlomo natan l'malkat shva et kol chavtza asher sha'ala milvad asher hevia el hamelech v'tafoch v'telech l'artza hi v'avadeha. King Shlomo in turn gave the queen of Sheba everything she expressed a desire for, exceeding a return for what she had brought to the king. Then she and her courtiers left and returned to her own land. There is another Midrashic tradition, which Rashi brings in Melachim, which seems not to be extant today. But it is based on the words we just read, that Shlomo gave her everything she expressed a desire for. And the Midrash states that Shlomo was intimate with the Queen of Sheba, and that she bore him a daughter from whom Nebuchadnezzar, the destroyer of the temple, descended. This is very similar to the Midrash about what happened when Shlomo married Bat Paro. In both cases, Shlomo had good intentions, but it was a miscalculation to have a relationship with these women, and its long-range effects were tragic. There is a small hint to this perspective. In the parallel account in Kings, it says that Malkat Shva shomat et shema Shlomo l'shem Hashem v'tavo l'nasoto b'chido. The Queen of Sheba heard of Shlomo's fame through the name of God, and she came to test him with hard questions. The words L'shem Hashem, the name of God, are missing from Divrei HaYamim. Our chapter implies that the Queen of Sheba came to test Shlomo with riddles, but Melachim emphasizes that the Queen of Sheba heard that Shlomo's wisdom was divine and she wanted to see that in action. This is in line with the theme of each Sefer. Melachim tells us about the story with its potential for Shlomo to make God's name great and inspire other nations to follow in the footsteps of the Queen of Sheba. But Divrei HaYamim knows that this did not happen and tells the story from the perspective of hindsight. She tested him with silly riddles that ultimately had no value. Ezra is very careful to place only hints to Shlomo's mistakes and not outrightly mention them. The next 15 verses describe the vast wealth which flowed one way or another into Shlomo's coffers and the excessive way that he disposed of it. On the one hand, the psukim are simply telling us that Hashem fulfilled the promise of wealth he made to Shlomo in the vision of at Gibeon. On the other hand, while it is Hashem who grants wealth, our psukim describe how it flows to Shlomo through his own initiatives or is brought by the many visitors who come to bask in the light of his benign rule. The disapproval is implied. The amassing of wealth need not in itself be sinful. Only too much money is prohibited, and that's a flexible concept. The Rambam, Maimonides, believed that Shlomo erred in amassing his wealth, and he wrote in Sefer HaMitzvot, his book about the commandments, that Hashem prohibited the king from having much money specifically for himself. And that is his saying, V'kesef v'zahav lo yerbeh lo ma'od. He may not have silver and gold for himself in great abundance. And the measure of this is that its amount only be according to that which is required for his chariot and his designated servants. But it is permitted that he amass money for the benefit of all of Israel. And God, may he be exalted, has already explained the reason for these three commandments, meaning to say, Lo yarbelo nashim, lo yarbelo susim, v'kesef v'zahav lo yarbelo. He may not have many horses, he may not have many wives, and he may not have silver and gold for himself in abundance in Scripture. But because the reason and cause was known, a veering away from the law occurred. This is that which is already famous in the story of King Shlomo, peace be upon him. In spite of the great level of his knowledge and wisdom and his being a friend of God. The last three psukim wrap up Shlomo's reign. Ushar divrei Shlomo rishonim v'achronim haloem tuvim al divrei Natan hanavi v'al nevuot achia shiloni u'bechazot yedo hachozeh al Yeravam ben Nevat. The other events of Shlomo's reign, early and late, are recorded in the chronicle of the prophet Natan and in the prophets of Achia the Shilonite and the visions of Yedo the seer concerning Yeravam, son of Nevat. Omitted is most of chapter 11 from Malachim, detailing Shlomo's love for foreign women, his weakness in allowing them free rein in the pursuit of their idol worship. We do not read here of God's anger and admonition to Shlomo and the various enemies who, in consequence of Shlomo's lapses, plague the later part of his reign. We only see the barest of hints to Yeravam's defiance of the king and Yeravam meeting with Achia Shilonit the prophet, who promises his kingship over the 10 tribes of Israel who are destined to break away from Shlomo's descendants. Based on all that we have learned so far, we understand this omission from Abarbanel's explanation that Divrei Hayamim's purpose is to present Shlomo's reign in the most positive light, and matters such as these are not included. They did have a profound effect on Jewish history, which is why we have noted the hints to these matters that Ezra did include. It is important to note that the rabbis were conflicted about how to view Shlomo HaMelech and all of his actions. We see this conflict in a narrative in the Talmud Sanhedrin. The Gemara resumes its discussion of the three kings and four commoners enumerated in the Mishnah who have no share in the world to come. The Gemara asks, who enumerated them? Rav Ashi says, the men of the great assembly enumerated them. Rav Yehuda says that Rav says, they sought to enumerate one more, King Shlomo, in the list of kings with no share in the world to come. The image of the face of his father, King David, came and prostrated itself before them, pleading to omit Shlomo from the list, and they paid it no heed. A fire came from heaven, and the fire scorched their benches, and they paid it no heed. A divine voice emerged and said to the members of the great assembly, do you see a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall stand not before obscure men. See the greatness of Shlomo, who preceded construction of my house, the temple, to the construction of his house. Moreover, my house he built quickly in just 7 years, and his house he constructed in 13 years. Therefore, he shall stand before kings. He shall stand not before obscure men. And it is inappropriate to enumerate him among the wicked. And they paid it no heed. A divine voice emerged and said, shall his recompense be as you will it? For you loathe it, so that you must choose and not I? Therefore, speak what you know. Only God, and not the people, determines who has a share in the world to come. And Shlomo was left off that list. Our version of Shlomo's kingdom in Divrei Hayamim represents the attitude from this Gemara. Ultimately, Shlomo may have made mistakes that had tragic consequences, but his motives were exalted, and his good deeds far outweighed his miscalculations, and he did not lose his portion in Olam Haba, the world to come. And therefore, his worst offenses need not be explicitly stated. Shlomo's mistakes were unfortunate, but they do not touch eternity. The chapter ends with Shlomo's death and his son Rechavim ruling in his stead. This shir is dedicated L'Zechra Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mensha Yehudit Bat Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivat Zion left an indelible mark on her many students.